listening to 95 The One, AM 1080 KYMN Radio, streaming live on kymnradio.net. This is On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I am Ira Carlson.
And we are a bi-weekly show exploring southern Minnesota breweries and beer. What do we got on tap this week, Ira?
We got a fun show ahead. We've got Randy Clay in from Imminent Brewing right down the street from us, talking a little bit of their new beer and their new site and everything they kind of have going on there. We also have Andrew in with the Styles of the Week, and this week it's kind of a coincidental. It works out with one of Randy's new beers down at Imminent. It's the Black IPA, so it's kind of fun hearing from Andrew on those different Styles of the Week. And, of course, we got a little bit of regional news.
Yeah, if you want to catch our previous shows and hear about previous Styles of the Week, you can catch that at our website on ontapnorfield.com. That's also where you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, ontapnorfield. Instagram, we're ontap with Corey and Ira. So go check us out there. You can also find old shows on podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM. Go give us a rating. We kind of need the love. We don't have much ratings, but we know you're listening because we can see the stats. And Ira, we had fun a couple weeks ago. We were down in Rochester for the Kegs and Barrel Festival. We did an interview down there. We have a panel with the four folks down there, three breweries and one winery and cidery that was involved, and that's coming up on September 2nd. But I know we both had a good time. It was a short drive down, and maybe it felt like a little bit longer drive home, but they took care of us. We had a good time. It was a great festival for a fundraiser for the Paws and Claws Humane Society in Rochester. It was represented by Grand Rounds, Kinney Creek, LTS, and $4 Wine. I had a great time. How about you?
I absolutely loved it. We had a lot of fun down there. It was fun talking to several brewers at the same time, and it just went to show how much the beer community does stick together, and also fermentation friends, as we like to call them. Oh, yeah. But all four of them were sitting at a round table. You know, they're in competition with each other, you know, to a certain extent locally, and it was great to kind of see them all working together. And then, of course, getting a chance to go around to each one of their booths and try a little bit of what they had to offer was kind of fun.
But we don't want to give away too much because we've got them come up on our September 2nd show, so you guys want to check that out in a couple weeks. Also, a little more shilling here for ourselves. We were fortunate enough to be nominated as Best Personalities, Radio Personalities in Southern Minnesota by Southern Minnesota Scene. So head to that website. Give us a vote. I think you can vote every day through September 4th. So you've got about 2.5 weeks, I don't know, 3 weeks, whatever the math works out to be, to go shill for us every week. So please do that. Stick around for the great show.
They pray to the angels and they pray to the snakes. It's a hard road to hold. You don't catch many breaks. Some man's gotta do, Lord, whatever it takes. And pray to the angels and pray to the snakes.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our offering this week is out of Uinta Brewing in Salt Lake City. It's their Hop Nosh IPA. Coming in at a nice 7.3 ABV. This is a really tasty, nice, hoppy beer. Not overly hoppy, but just a nice finished beer. Really great 12-ounce can here. I'm really enjoying this beer. I'm glad Sean sent this one over.
I'm right there with you. Like you mentioned, you get the hop presence there, but also the malt comes through nicely. It's a very well-put-together beer. Very tasty. 7.3 might get in a little bit of trouble because you don't feel that kick too much. There's not a lot of heat to it. I love the packaging on this. You know, these guys clearly have a lot of fun with their beer. You know, next to their social media space, they got the, you know, the icons for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And it says stalk us. So I kind of like that. I give them points for that. And then also kind of cool to note is they are brewed with renewable energy. They use wind and solar. So if the beer is not good enough for you, which I think it is, and I think you should definitely go pick this up. These guys seem like characters. Maybe guys and women. I don't know who works there, but the brewery seems like characters, and they're out of Utah, and go check them out.
And if you like this beer or any of the other beers that we've talked about in previous shows, you can find them conveniently at Firehouse Liquor, south on Highway 3.
Look for the fire truck.
Love is the engine of survival. His heart pumps the blood we all play.
Now we're joined by Randy Clay, head brewer and owner over at Imminent Brewing. Randy, how's it going?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have someone on that we haven't met for the first time in studio, but you know, we found in the course of doing the show that beer brings everybody together.
Right.
So yes. We appreciate you stopping by and bringing some of that beer, some that we've had, some that we haven't, and but we'll get to the beer. We want to talk a little about the brewery. As I said, you're the head brewer and one of the owners. You've got three other partners. Who else is involved in the operation?
Yeah, so there are four of us all together. It's myself and my wife, Tanya, and another local couple, Laura and Derek Myers. The four of us are sole owners, and I should add that the rest of our team, we currently have seven employees. We're bringing on another one here shortly. They're also very much a part of the team, too. We've got a good crew down there.
Yeah, you go in, you see a lot of friendly faces. People have been around town. I know I've seen a couple of those people slinging beers elsewhere, so it's nice to see familiar faces, and it's a warm environment. And we'll get to the space. I usually make the joke because usually people on our show come to Norfield for maybe not the first time, but haven't been here in a long time. You didn't have to go very far. It was you did drive here today because I'm sure you came home from home, but you're about, a three-block walk down to your brewery from here?
That's right. Yep. Just a few blocks right on Main Street.
So what, 6th and Division?
6th and Division, exactly.
And for those in town or those who listen to the show for the first time, where can they find Imminent in town? We're 6th and Division. So, got some landmarks there?
Yeah, absolutely. We are located in the garage of the former National Guard Armory building. The entrance of the armory faces Division. The entrance to the garage and our space now is around the corner on 6th Street, mm-hmm. directly across from Econo Foods. That's kind of the landmark. Tell people where Econo is and they'll be able to find the brewery.
Sure. If you go past it, then we've had a few brewers on here like, just go down. You'll see on the left. If you get past Econo, you've gone too far. Turn around.
I think also our building, our particular storefront with all the glass and at least this time of year, the patio out front, it is kind of hard to miss.
Yeah, it really is. And there's usually a couple dozen bikes out front, too.
Right.
Great idea with the bike racks.
Right.
Let's talk about the space. I mean, obviously, the space outdoors is really cool. You guys have done a nice job with that. It's had a nice aesthetic to that street, which was basically just a kind of a bypass before. Talk about what went into that idea, but also, obviously, the space inside, what you guys have done with that.
Yeah, I think that the garage itself, you know, is a very underutilized corner of downtown Northfield for many years. I mean, it definitely served its purpose for the guard, but you know, as they've changed their plans, we were fortunate enough to land that spot and really have a pretty big vision for the whole corner. The brewery is part of it, and we are the sole owners of the brewery itself. The rest of the project is actually owned by another couple, but we're working very closely with them. Honestly, I mean, it may sound overstating it, but it's actually true, is that we are trying to change part of downtown. I mean, that end of town is underutilized, and, you know, some people, you know, have said that the foot traffic ends a block before that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure that, you know, it's not only going to benefit us, but the businesses across the street, like Eco Gardens and such, that, you know, we're trying to bring people further down all the way to the end of, or to 6th Street of Division. And so far, so good. I mean, we've had a great response from the town and the city, and, you know, it has definitely exceeded our expectations in the short couple of months that we've been open. Space that has the brewery in it, the garage, and there was a shed attached to the back of the garage. We've got roughly 3,300 square feet, and we have a 10-barrel brew house in there. The tap room is in the former garage space. We had to put in a couple large bathrooms because we felt that was the right thing to do. That took up a good portion of that footprint, but we were still able to put in a pretty good sized bar. And large walk-in cooler and plenty of seating. And even a space for live music, too. That was important.
Well, and plenty of visibility. There's no real obstructed areas in the sense that you go into some place and it's cluttered. You move from one room to another. It's definitely wide open. You got the ability to just roll up those garage doors as well. Yeah. And I will say
basically one of the grows the space.
Yeah. And then one of the other things you've done, which I haven't seen a lot of other brewers do, is you actually built in space to have those food trucks come in. Most food trucks pull up on the street. Yours actually pull in to the patio space and are directly accessible to a customer without a lot of nuisance. So that's something a little more unique to your build out.
Yeah, that was definitely something we were fortunate to have the space to do that. And when we designed the fence that encloses our patio, which is required, because we're serving alcohol outdoors, you have to have an enclosure, that we were able to build a big gate into that to do exactly what you said and have the food truck actually on our property. We also wired in outlets for food trucks so that they don't have to run their generators. That's another thing, I've noticed through the years, a lot of times when you go see a food truck somewhere, they're mobile, they can go anywhere because they have a generator, which is noisy, which was kind of nice for us. We're like, well, how can we get around that? Well, let's just give them their outlet so they can plug in and not have to use a generator. So that was something that we thought of ahead of time as well.
I just want to hop back real quick and compliment you and your team on the idea that you can expand the idea of downtown. I think as a local, and I think you have this misperception both locally and visitors, where downtown really is 2nd to 5th Street, only on Division. Even businesses and other outfits just off on maybe 4th Street or 3rd Street aren't, quote-unquote, part of downtown. So I love the idea that you guys are trying to expand that idea and give people a reason to walk beyond 5th, even though there's clearly 10 different businesses right there.
Right, and some of the businesses are changing enough to kind of enhance more of that walking. My in-laws have a business right in that space.
Oh, yeah, sure.
More of a service industry, but you have, whether it be the dog groomers or, as weird as it may sound, the tattoo parlor, which is a nice one. They've got a lot of, a little more retail,
right,
pizza places. It's slowly moving back down the street.
But it's been this image of Northfield for a long time, that downtown's 3 blocks. I mean, even folks on Water Street just across the 4th Street Bridge are not including downtown, let alone Quarterback Club or the other brewery in town, Tanzenwald, where that's still downtown.
They are, absolutely. And, I'm glad you brought them up because one of the things that we've heard from several small business owners downtown already at this point, that Tanzenwald opened a couple months before us, but having the two breweries in town has most definitely been a draw to bring people from the cities and from Rochester to Northfield. And I've heard from several small business owners that they've seen an increased amount of traffic this summer. And they feel that in large part that has to do with the breweries bringing, being absolutely the attraction that we all, told everybody that's what would happen. That's what we told the city council and we told the convention and visitors bureau. And that was part of our plan. Look, this is what happens. And having two of us here is good for everybody. And so far, that's definitely been the case.
Yeah, you're not spinning a narrative. I mean, there's documentation of this everywhere else where if you get one, it helps. If you get two, watch out. If you get three, now you're a destination. And obviously, if you guys look at Loon Liquors, they're already a third operation here that would draw people here. We've got Chapel opening. There's cideries in the area, winery not too far. So Northfield's going to become its own little mecca of fermentation friends is the term that we keep using on this show. But I think it's apropos.
Right, and also you're going to actually helping out several of the local other restaurants nearby you because of either the food truck or you can bring your own food in. I've definitely seen an increase of some of the traffic to a couple of the other places real nearby, which I'm sure they probably are enjoying the benefit of.
Yeah, for sure. Even Econo, which, a grocery store, which really wasn't one that I had thought of beforehand, but, people love going I'll just go grab some snacks right across the street. And B&L's, which is one of many pizza places in town, are the closest one to us, literally across Division, and they're very happy with us. They are a frequent sight at our patio and even inside. So yeah, that's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think you guys have done a great job with the space. The music area is nice, kind of nestled in, kind of joins together the brew house and the tap room. A lot of seating, high tops outside. You've got the tables. It's great. But I want you to mention quickly, as before we move on, about the space, the bar. I know the bar was important to you guys and what you did with that. Can you tell people a little bit about what makes your bar different?
Yeah, for sure. We, the four of us, the four owners, all had connections in one way or another to the Rockies. We've seen firsthand the pine beetle infestations out there and the devastation it creates. But the fact that wood... actually is really gorgeous wood to use decoratively. And we actually had the idea kind of simultaneously early on in our business planning that we wanted to bring that wood into the bar. And so not only did we bring it into the bar, we made it the bar. We actually were fortunate to source three big slabs of a pine tree from Custer, South Dakota. We also sourced from another mill in the same area a trailer full of rough cut boards and 16-foot boards. So not only did we build our bar out of the slabs, but we built our tables out of the same type of wood. And it's really satisfying, you know, to open a brewery after so much work and not only be able to you know, people don't really see all the mental anguish that goes into the work to open a small business, but actually to be able to show them that we physically, with our own hands, built this bar and built these tables. That's really, really gratifying. And it's gorgeous. I mean, it really is a sight to see.
I love to drink off of them.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they weren't made by people who work with wood for a living. They were made by us. And, you know, we set up a wood shop. And, you know, Derek definitely had more experience doing any of that kind of work than we all did. His dad came in and helped us out. His dad builds boats, wooden boats.
Wow.
As a hobby. And, you know, he was a great resource and helped us out. And it's really nice to hear the compliments. You know, people talk about the bar and the tables and everything like that. And it is. It's really nice to hear that. Feels good.
You were talking about growing and revitalizing that end of downtown on 6th Street and beyond. And I hear a lot of other breweries and brewers, not necessarily people we've had on the show, but elsewhere talk about and wax poetic about building community, whether it's within the beer community or within their own community, if they're in a neighborhood in a big city or in their own small town. You guys, in your 2 months of being open, have lived that for sure. You've had several different functions there for cycling groups. Last week, you guys had a beer release and book release at the same time. You want to talk briefly about that? And I bring that up because we're having the beer now. I want you to talk a little bit about the beer, too.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, that was definitely part of our business plan, the idea of community and connection and conversation. And, you know, you can dream about doing that and hope that it happens, but I don't think you ever actually know it's going to happen until you try it and until you open your doors. And that's exactly what has happened so far. And we feel very blessed that the town has taken us in and started to turn that place into exactly that, a place where the community can come together. And I think some of the greatest compliments we've heard so far are the people who say that, well, they're not normally beer drinkers or they don't normally go downtown to some of the other establishments, but they love coming to our place and hanging out. And, you know, we strive to make it kid friendly and dog friendly. And I think that is important if you're going to try to be part of the community and bring people together. You know, it's not just the people that are over 21. It's the whole family. And so far that's been great. And like you said, you know, working with some small groups in town, having their meetings there and such, and having this opportunity to help our friend Ben Percy in his local book release. He's on a national tour releasing this book called The Dark Net, and this was his hometown stop on this tour. And since we knew about it a couple months in advance, I took the opportunity. I know Ben likes beers, he likes IPAs in particular, and with the theme of the book being The Dark Net, the dark side of the internet. It's a thriller that he wrote and that he's very, very good at doing that kind of a thing. And so I made a beer I called Percy's Black Ale. It's an India Black Ale. So that style came about a number of years ago in the Pacific Northwest and is really all about having an IPA that if you close your eyes, you would think it was your regular pale colored IPA, but and when you look at it, it's actually black.
Sure.
And so that's the route I took with this particular beer. And yeah, we released it when he had his book release party at our place. And, you know, it was kind of funny because it was our very first special release. And typically when you release a beer, maybe similar to when you release a book, you talk about it and you market it and you build it up and hype it up.
And then
you tell people when it's going to be released. And in this particular instance, I realized in hindsight, I didn't do that only because it was a secret for Ben. Ben had no idea that that was going to happen. And to be able to do that and see the look on his face when he walked in the door and I introduced the beer, that was a blast. That was really cool. But, you know, probably the only time we'll ever do it that way because, you know, when you do a special release, you kind of want to let people know about it.
So, maybe if he did some deep search engine searching, he could have found out about it before he showed up. But
probably, no. Probably. I figured he was pretty busy, not spending a whole lot of time figuring out what was going to happen at Imminent on the night of his book release. So, yes, he was definitely surprised, which it was tough for me to keep that under wraps.
Sure.
For sure. That was fun.
Well, I love your description of the beer where it's, if you close your eyes, it tastes like one thing. You expect it to look like one thing. You open it, it does not. I love when beers challenge people's misconceptions or preconceived notions of what a beer should be, because that's one of the, probably the biggest misnomers out there is, I don't like that book or that beer because it looks this way. Well,
yeah,
look has nothing to do with taste, right?
Absolutely. We found that a lot, and I knew this would happen, but that's exactly what happened with our mild. We made a dark mild, and people would look at the description without obviously seeing the beer, but just the description and say, oh, I'll have the mild. And literally you would pour it for them and give it to them, and they would say, ooh, that's dark? Yeah, I didn't want that. And then it would be like, no, just try it.
Yeah.
And, you know, more people than not, you know, really enjoyed it. But, yeah, it's that preconceived notion that, I only like light beers. I don't like dark beers, or, you know, I don't like hoppy beers, whatever it may be. That's part of what craft brewing and breweries are about is teaching people to, you know, change their minds and open up their palates. And it's fun.
I will say it was very good. We finished rather quickly. So
right?
It was a very tasty beer. I'm looking forward to be able to head down and try it. It'll be on tap, I assume.
Yeah, this week, Thursday, when we open, for sure.
Well, I'm always happy to take more if you got some more. I can ask a long question if you want to take time to fill it up.
Go right ahead.
Or get something else. Or, you know, this is a podcast. We can take a pause, too, because we don't want to get too hoarse around here and get a little dry throat. I wanted to jump back on something you said about bringing people to the tap room. We talked a little about the community aspect and people of all ages, whether they be single people in their 20s, parents, kids, whatever. I've been down there several times, you know, because Ira and I take the show seriously. We have to do research, and you guys are close by, so where else better to do some research? But I've commented several times when I've gone down to meet friends who, you know, maybe are in a little bit different circles, but I've seen this both with Tanswald and especially at Imminent, where I see people I don't know, and I wonder, okay, are these people down from the cities, from Rochester, just visiting, or are these locals who I just haven't come across? Because in my prior life and in this current life, I know a lot of people in town. But I see a lot of people at both places where I have other friends who do other things in town who can identify them. So point of this, it was a long, drawn-out question, so you can fill beer. Thank you.
And I'll amend to it, too, is that you're seeing people not just only on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday where you'd expect people coming in from out of town, but you see them on a Thursday afternoon, like shortly after work's out, or you know, Friday, where there's less chances of people traveling from out of town. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of faces that I don't recognize, which is interesting. So,
but I have other people who I know point out that these people do live here. Just
yep.
They maybe weren't going out as much or not going to the same places. And it seems like you're bringing a good cross section of people and maybe bringing out more people who normally wouldn't go to maybe some of the other establishments
at
4 o'clock on a Thursday or a Friday.
Right. I mean, I've spent a lot of time when I'm there mingling and trying to find the people that I don't recognize and ask them exactly those questions. Hey, where are you from? And this, a surprising number of people that I've never seen before that, you know, do live in town. Oh, yeah, we're just a few blocks away. Love this place. Thanks for doing this. And, you know, that's been awesome. That's great to see. That, again, that idea of a community and a gathering space, it's not just for one set of people. It's not for the regulars. It's for the whole town. And
well,
so,
you talked about it by opening the doors to kids and dogs and stuff where – I think that is part of it, that you're opening it up to a group of people that might want to stop out for a beer but don't want to go to more, I don't think we have anywhere rowdy in town, but maybe a little more adult locations where...
Ira's backyard.
But to be able to bring kids out to, you know, a location where there's the games out for them to be able to play, be able to sit outside, listen to some music, and yet the kids are welcome to be there. It is a nice, refreshing option, which I think is probably where we're seeing some of that from.
And I want to talk about the beer again, but I have one question before that because we kind of skipped over it.
Okay.
Obviously, you guys have opened the brewery. What led to that decision? Why did you and your wife and your friends, and I know a little bit of the story because we've talked several times, but for our listeners who are here for the first time, and maybe I can get them up to speed. You've been a homebrewer for a long time. when you moved to Northfield X number of years ago, you started at the Milltown Masters, one of the local brewing clubs, met Derek and Laura. You said, hey, let's do a brewery. Was it
that
up to speed?
That's pretty much, that's pretty accurate. Met Derek and Laura.
But you have to take that step. Like, how's that conversation start?
Well, right.
I can think of like, hey, let's open a business.
Right. I've been in the restaurant business forever and been home brewing for a very long time. And probably throughout the years have entertained the idea of maybe opening a restaurant or maybe opening a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really get serious about it until about 5 years ago. Sat down and kind of started to do a back of the napkin kind of business plan with another friend in town. And we went and talked to a local brewery owner and member of the Craft Brewers Guild, a pretty well-known guy in the cities. And he was a friend of this guy that lives in Northfield. And we went and talked to him, and he was very blunt and realistic about it. And when we came out of the meeting, my friend, you know, within a day or so was like, I'm not doing that. There's no way. And for me, it was like, I can't not do this. And, you know, all
gotta
of
find
this,
a new friend then.
Yeah, it's so right. We're still buddies, but not business partners. So another year or two went by, and then I met Derek and Laura. And when they moved to town, they joined the homebrew club because they're both brewers. And they had the idea in mind from pretty much the minute they moved to town to do a brewery. And we started working on it, and it seemed to be mutually beneficial. We had the same vision, and that was almost 3 years ago. I mean, it's a really long process, but that's really when I decided that it was going to happen and that I needed to take some additional steps, knowing I was going to be the brewer, to make sure that to make that transition from home brewing to pro brewing, because there's a little bit of contention, I think, right now with the number of breweries that are opening, a contention between those of that you would say maybe are more classically trained or professionally trained versus those that have been home brewers and decide to go pro. And I take that seriously. And I knew that there was things I had to do to make sure that this was going to work and that we weren't just doing it because your friends and family tell you that the beer you make in your garage is good.
Free beer is great, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So
was that more for yourself or more for the perception of what would be out there? Because as you alluded to, especially in the last couple of years, it's blown up everywhere. And some people initially poo-poo a brewery that's run by a home brewer.
Right. And I think that what it really comes down to, or what it should come down to, is the quality of the beer. And so for me, the steps to take to make sure that the quality of the beer was the focus and that was going to be good and sustainable, that's why I did what I did, to make sure that this was going to be successful. And I think, yes, also part of it is just also personally making sure that when those people that do walk in and ask about the credentials of the brewer, that there's a little bit more to our story, my story, than just, yeah, he was just a home brewer. Mm-hmm. Because I do, even though it's a relatively small part of the market, that I've run in those circles of people for years, you know, the home brewers and the beer geeks and the people that want to know that kind of thing and actually ask that question when they go into a brewery. Part of me does want to satisfy them too. Part of me does want to make sure that, you know, when they stop in, they have a good experience and they like the beer, and it is important. And even as much emphasis as we put into the space and creating the community gathering space and the pine that we have in there and everything, that's all great, but it doesn't mean anything if the beer's not good.
Live and die by the product.
Yeah, and as it should be. And I think that's the concern of people who say, oh, they were just a home brewer, now they're opening a brewery, you know? Okay, but again, it comes down to the quality of the product. And I guess, you know, that line of thinking arises because there are breweries out there that don't make very good beer.
Sure.
And are selling a lot of it and are popular. And I guess that the majority of those types of places that are in operation right now are run by people that were former home brewers. But I think that's an oversimplification, because even the great breweries occasionally make a beer that's not that good. And if you even go back further than that, most of these great breweries that have been around 10, 20, 30 years were started by guys that were home brewers.
Right.
So I think it's kind of a moot point to say just a sweeping generalization that, oh, well, you know, they were a home brewer and they went pro, it's not going to be any good. I mean, that's just kind of a silly.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot at play. I think there's a lot of good beer that's made by former home brewers, now commercial brewers. And there's a lot of bad beer that's made by so-called professional brewers who've been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
What you don't have now is time to really figure it out, because people want to show up day one.
Absolutely.
And have good beer. They don't want you to be a testing ground for them.
No, no.
So that's the tough challenge of probably being in today's climate versus the 90s or 80s. Not that we had tap rooms back then, but elsewhere. And the other thing, too, I wonder, I mean, we talk about the beer snobs, and Ira and I don't necessarily include ourselves in there. We're beer advocates and aficionados. No, we're not aficionados. But I think the average person who's probably going to most breweries wouldn't care who makes it. I think it's to your point, how is it made, or in the end, what does it taste like?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a sector of people who are in the upper echelon of beer people who are going to say, oh, that guy went to this institute, or, oh, he's been brewing at home for 2 years and now he wants to go pro. Let's not even bother. And it's too bad, because in the end, if it tastes good, who cares? I mean, it's like the sour discussion. Who cares how it's made? As long as the end, does it taste like it should, and does it taste good?
Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk about your beer. Enough about other people's.
Sure. I think
type of
yeah,
beer.
our aim, you know, and like you just said, I mean, we don't necessarily have the luxury of time either. It's not like we, you know, perfected a bunch of batches before we released them. That's really where the home brewing background came in, is that the recipes were honed over many years, mm-hmm. and then just scaled up to our size now. So our goal is to make the authentic American, German, British, and Belgian ales that people are probably more familiar with, but then also do the one-offs and the seasonals, and across both of those types of beers, utilize local ingredients whenever possible. We live in a place that has a lot of local, especially this time of year, a lot of local produce, local fruits, vegetables, such that we're trying to use as many of them fresh as we can. Mm-hmm. But we also realize that we're going to buy some fresh stuff now, save it for winter or spring, things like that, so that we can continue that lineup. I think so far, We've stuck to that plan. You know, most of the beers that we have on tap are, you know, ales of, you know, authentic nature that are either an American ale, English, or, you know, we've got a Saison coming up here that's actually going to kind of cross over into that specialty category that'll have a large amount of local cherries in it. So it'll be a real tart, summery Saison.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't like to define people's beer, because I'm not a beer maker, but I would say your beer so far has been accessible, easy drinking, very approachable. Almost any, if you come in, you're a beer snob and they're well made, which they are, you'll appreciate what's put in there. And if you're not a beer snob or someone new to beer, you'll like them because they're not going to be overly aggressive in your face, and they're put together well. Is that fair to say? I mean, it was a compliment. I just don't know if it came up.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I hear that word approachable a lot, and It is a compliment, because we're not reinventing the wheel. Having a brewery on every corner in every little town is not a new idea. That's something that was around pre-prohibition that just went away, and it's coming back. And mm-hmm. when you're the local brewery, you're trying to appeal to the masses, and you might be pushing the envelope a little bit, trying to get people to try a different style that they've never had before, but you're still not trying to make approachable, drinkable beers that appeal to a lot of people. And, you know, we want to have a broad enough range of styles that people can come in and order the hoppy beer, order the dark beer, whatever it may be, and have it be a good product, you know, a solid porter, or a solid pale ale, or an IPA. And, you know, I think that's what we've done so far. I mean, our business would certainly dictate that it has worked so far.
in the short time you've been open, I've already had several favorites as they've come and gone off of the, you know, the tap list, whether it be the Quick in the Red or the Guard Down or current one of your current ones, you know, the question mark Hill Wheat. It is interesting. You know, I've already found some that even as you've been rotating through, there's been some that I've really latched on to right away, you know, being having the chance to do lots of research locally has paid off. So
we're very dedicated to the show.
Right. Yeah, I think it's working out very well. And again, trying to appeal not only to people that are already into craft beer or like beers, but appeal to those people that say they're not beer drinkers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a big compliment, I think, when you find something that, whether it's a fruit beer or whether it's the wheat beer, which is a, you know, pretty straightforward beer, that people say, oh, wow, I really like that. And that's part of our plan, too. And I think... I know that the reason why most people actually like craft beer is because they've never actually had a fresh beer. Sure. That is a huge reason why craft breweries and, you know, little breweries popping up here and there are popular, because it's a fresh product. And it, you know, it changes over the course of a couple of weeks or a month or so that you have it on tap. It actually, you know, generally they get better. It might kind of fade if it's a real hoppy beer and it's around too long, it might start to fade. But, you know, generally, you know, the response on our beers has been, you know, really fun to hear. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've told you privately, and I've applauded you and your team for this, is that when you guys opened, you showcased your versatility. You had a wide range of variety of beers that kind of hit a little bit of everything. So you're playing to the market to see what they want. And you're making approachable beers. I went to a brewery here recently. I won't say where, but it's a newer brewery. Made great beer, but four out of their five beers were all big hop bombs. And yeah, that's going to hit a good segment of people. But if you have your average person who even has been drinking, you know, craft beer or, you know, non-macro lager for a few years, they may not be into a Northeastern IPA yet or a double IPA with, you know, all citra hop or something like that. Again, they were great beers, but they're going to miss this part of the segment. So
yeah,
what went into that approach to make sure you guys had that wide variety of beer? I mean, obviously it's planning first and foremost, because I see plenty of breweries open up with two or three or four beers. You guys, right. I think, had seven or eight?
Yeah, we waited until we knew we could have at least six or seven beers on tap. And that's what we opened with seven. And we haven't, you know, been able to maintain that the whole time. But that was also part of the plan. We kind of knew that for the summer... We kind of had to put several beers out there and, like you said, see what sells and see what we need to repeat and keep going and keep on the lineup. And so we're kind of working that out. At this point, we're at five, maybe six beers. We'll probably keep that going.
That means you're selling them, so that's good.
Right, and yeah, that too.
It's first and foremost the business.
Yeah, well, that's very true. I mean, our sales have been beyond our expectations, so we're very happy about that as well. You know, and we're figuring out what are the big sellers and what sticks around maybe a little longer than it should. And, you know, with Northfield being the town that it is, we are definitely focused on the little weekend in September after Labor Day.
Small
when
gathering.
A few hundred thousand people like to stroll through our town. Yeah. And so we won't likely have seven beers on tap that particular weekend, but that's fine. You know, we'll still have our core... you know, four or five, maybe six beers that weekend. But we're trying hard to make sure that we're not going to run out of beer that weekend, because...
Probably a good move.
Yeah, that's that's pretty important right there.
Well, as we wrap up here, because we're really trying to be good about not going an hour for every show, not necessarily this segment, but in total, Ira was talking a little bit about the food and music before. Obviously, that has been a big part of your first 2 months. And you talked about trying to bring in local people, obviously both with food, but also music. What I've seen on Facebook, what I've seen in person, I should say. Is that something you guys want to maintain through the fall into the winter? Obviously, when it gets cold, food trucks probably aren't as easy to go, but I know you've got something with the Reppies, with the bigger space with the commercial kitchen. Is there an opportunity for food throughout the winter, and are you guys going to have music throughout the winter?
Yeah, for sure, we will. I mean, we know that it's obviously going to cut down on our capacity when we have to keep the doors shut and it's too cold to be outside. But we want to continue doing exactly what we're doing and having live music. I think we're taking advantage of the weather and having more live music than we might in the winter. But we're definitely going to continue to have that and, you know, continue to work on getting the kitchen inside finished so that our caterers and food vendors and food truck people have a place to still set up a menu in the wintertime. Very much looking forward to that. I don't know exactly when that's going to be ready, but yeah, that's sure. That's part of the plan too. You know, continuing what we're doing now, maybe on a slightly smaller scale, but pretty similar.
So you've got DJJD here in the windshield here in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, you talked about getting prepped for that. Have enough beer on hand. That's going to probably empty the tanks pretty well. But what do you guys have on tap after that in terms of beer and events that you might have?
Sure. So we have a few beers coming up here pretty soon. We have that cherry saison I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. We also have a honey basil ale that I've made several times, and it's gotten really good response. So I'm excited about
I look forward to that
particular beer. We actually on Saturday afternoon at DJJD, let me just announce this here because this hasn't been made public yet, but
breaking news
on the corner there, the Motor Bank space on 6th and Division that is owned by John and Liz Reppy, the people that own the Armory itself, we are going to have a local craft beverage fest that Saturday afternoon of fest. So we'll be able to invite Tanzenwald, Loon Liquors, Keepsake Cidery.
Do they know yet?
Yes, they do. There may be a couple other places down there that are other local places that we may invite as well. But and John's going to do a hog roast. So, you know, it's going to be fenced in. It's going to be wristbands.
Hogs.
It's going to be everything. I think that's going to be an awesome addition to the weekend for sure.
Cool.
For downtown.
Guess yeah. I know I'll be doing Saturday. Research.
Yeah.
And then lastly, before we head off here, where can people find you online? Just keep in touch with you. Obviously, you guys are active on Facebook like everyone else, but
correct.
Anywhere else they can find you?
Yeah, our website, imminentbrewing.com. And like you said, Facebook, those are definitely the two means by which we communicate the most. You know, Facebook with maybe smaller posts and the website with more of a bigger calendar of upcoming events and food trucks and music and things like that. So, you know, please check both of those out and keep in touch, and hopefully we'll see you all downtown.
Appreciate you coming in, Randy. I appreciate you bringing some beer. I'm sure I'll see you tomorrow or 2 days out sometime soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, right. Guys.
There ain't no peace at home when love ain't kind. Probably me. And there ain't nowhere to find out unless we settle troubles free. So say your prayers and honey, pass that bottle.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns, here to talk about a controversial beer style. This week we're talking about Black IPA. Now, Black IPA is another one of those beers that tricks you. If you were to put a blindfold on, you'd probably think you're tasting a pretty standard IPA. That is, bitter, hoppy, probably very floral, very citrusy, relatively high alcohol. But then you open your eyes and it looks black like a stout or a porter. And this is done by using some special black grains that look really black but don't have all of that same flavor. So it's a trick you kind of beer. I mentioned it's controversial, and that's because of the name. You know, IPA stands for India Pale Ale. And now we're saying it's a black pale ale, and that doesn't really make sense. So you might see this beer listed as Cascadian Dark Ale or India Black Ale. And a couple years ago, no one could decide what to call it, but I think we've all settled on the notion of Black IPA. As contradictory as it sounds, it's a great way to describe this wonderful, trick you kind of beer.
Well, this woman I'm loving, she's loud and she's rough. She's good in the sack, but she's ruined my luck. And she's stolen my heart and every last buck. So I'm leaving tomorrow, honey, I've had enough. I've had enough of the hard times, sorrow and woe. When you're down on the street and there's no place to go, and the saints have all failed you and left you alone, you can turn to the stars, you can turn to the road.
And now time for some regional news. Shakopee is soon to be a two-brewery town. Already heralded for Badger Hill Brewing, Shakopee Brew Hall is inching closer to opening in downtown Shakopee. The new brewery brewed its first beer last week and is steadily working through construction of their tap room. Keep your eye on their Facebook page for updates, where they are very active.
You can almost smell it. Fall is just around the corner, and if the Renaissance Festival and Minnesota State Fair don't trigger the fall dance for you, perhaps the Autumn Brew Review will. Hosted by the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, the Autumn Brew Review is revered as one of the best such beer festivals in the state. As the air gets a bit crisper and snow is in the long-range forecast, brewers tend to showcase some of their richer, bigger beers. Corey and I will be at the festival on September 16th and making our way around catching up with some of the southern Minnesota breweries, so make sure to track us down and say hi, because you should be there. Go to mncraftbeer.org for tickets.
This is definitely newsworthy. Ira and I, your esteemed host of On Tap with Corey and Ira, have been nominated as Best Radio Show Personalities in Southern Minnesota Scene. You can vote for us through September 4th, and you can do it daily. Find a direct link to vote for us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ontapnorfield or by going to the Southern Minnesota Scene website. Also, while you're there, vote for KYMN Radio 95 The One as Best Radio Station.
Well, if you want to be a happy man, boys, all the days of your life, just get yourself a down-home girl and make that gal your wife. Kiss her every morning and always treat her right, and then come home from work any afternoon and then love that gal all night. But I don't need no diamond sitting on a band of gold, Lord. All I need's a pretty little gal with a pretty little hand to hold.
Going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Randy from Imminent Brewing for taking the 3-block walk down from downtown Norfield, the other end of it. We're going to be back in 335 hours with our next show on September 2nd. That's 11 a.m. Saturday, September 2nd. It's going to be our panel discussion from the Kegs and Barrels Festival. We talked about that earlier this show. Going to have Grand Rounds, Kinney Creek, LTS, and Four Daughters on that show. It's going to be a great show. Tune in next week when the guys from Norfield Outdoors are on. They deserve a listen. You want to give them that listen.
And if you enjoyed some of the music on this show, we forgot to talk about it at the beginning of the show, but all the music has been being put on by Bernie King and the Guilty Pleasures. If you're even a slight audiophile in the at least the Southern Minnesota scene, you probably heard of these guys. They're a great band, lots of fun folk music and everything else. Been playing a little bit off of their Bear album and a couple of songs from some of their previous albums. So if you really like these guys, look for them. They're on Facebook and all over the place. But yeah, find Bernie King and the Guilty Pleasures. They're a lot of fun to go see. So if you see them out and about, head out there and listen to these guys. They're amazing. And a big thanks to them for letting us play their music for our show.
And if you enjoy getting in line for those with a following, follow us, because boy, do we have a following. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at OnTap Norfield for Facebook and Twitter. OnTap with Corey and Ira on Instagram, where we post lots of great photos of beer. Because what else would we post on Instagram? We appreciate you joining us this week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Telling their children to go on their own.